Hey everyone, thanks for coming. And today I would like to talk a little bit about the Bluetooth mesh and what we did in the Rust ecosystem to basically support it, both on the embedded and on the Linux side. And it's a good continuation on the topic that we had in the previous session, because it's a little bit comparable. And there's a lot of material, so basically what I will, and a little time, 20 minutes, so what I will basically give you today is a lot of teasers and a lot of pointers, and I hope you'll get interested and could follow the links to further investigate things. So let's get started with what the Bluetooth mesh is. Bluetooth mesh is based on the BLE, so Bluetooth Low Energy technology, but it's designed to create a mesh network so all devices on top of it, meaning that you should be able to connect nodes or devices directly in the dynamic hierarchies basically. What's different between the Bluetooth mesh and the Thread, for example, is that Bluetooth mesh doesn't use any routing. It's based on the managed flooding principle, meaning that device will try to publish messages to all the devices in the range, and those devices will then figure out what to do next with those messages that have been received. And it supports publish-subscribe model, as we will see in a minute. So this is how it basically looks like, and it's a similar what Stefan showed us with the Thread. So we have a regular nodes that can send and receive messages. We have relay nodes, which are only there to extend the range of the network. So they're just relaying things that they're receiving. And in a similar fashion as Thread, we can have a low power nodes that are mostly sleeping and are not active, and which are accompanied by the friend nodes, which will buffer messages addressed toward the over these low power nodes. The stack looks something like this. So, as I said, like we have a Bluetooth Low Energy as a basic layer. There's a networking layer that's responsible for creating networks and exchanging keys and all that kind of things. And then we have an application layer, which is completely defined in the Bluetooth mesh, meaning that all our models are predefined, and we can use it as we will see now. So, as I said, the models are defined. So for example, all the things that are talking like a sensors or on-off switches are defined at the model as a models on the application level on the mesh. And we can have a client and the server models, meaning that the client and the server will exchange the messages and communicate like that. So how does it work then is that each device, each node has multiple elements, and those elements can have a multiple client or server models between them. And each element has its own unicast address that can be used to address an element within the device. We can also create more complex hierarchies by defining a group of addresses and defining the virtual addresses, which provides us with a way to create more complex topologies and to have like a full power of publish-subscribe architectures on the mesh level. Every device is part of a particular network and a particular application within that network, meaning that all the messages that are exchanged between the devices are double encrypted with the network and the application key. To onboard device onto the network, we need to go through something like a provisioning process, meaning that that we need to have like a special node that will behave like a provisioner of the network. And that node will be responsible for creating and managing the keys, setting the addresses, and things like that. So, what are the use cases? On top of the Bluetooth low energy, we can have a extended range and more flexible topologies. But we can also have existing hardware. So this is just another application on existing Bluetooth low energy hardware that can be applied, but with more flexible technologies and providing an option to connect a larger number of devices. So. I don't want to go too deep into this because it's probably a session of its own. We heard a lot of, about Thread here, but this is just a small comparison between all the competing technologies in the space, right? And their respective solutions in all the different layers. So. What's when you started playing with this, we had one goal in mind, and that is to create like a full stack, meaning that we can create application based on the Bluetooth mesh that will cover the full stack, going from the embedded microcontrollers to the Linux and having support for these applications in the cloud, and try to do all that in Rust. We will talk about that a bit more in a moment. And the idea was to create a platform that could be easy to build these applications on both on the devices and on the cloud side, but also provide a way to ease the management of the Bluetooth mesh networks, right? So. But before we dive into what we did in Rust is let's go a little bit through the current state, and on the embedded side, the ZFR is the only thing that I found in the open source that had a support for the Bluetooth mesh. Of course, all the vendors had their own supported SDKs that can be used. Out of the box. On the Linux side, everything related to the Bluetooth is basically under the BlueZ project. And the BlueZ defines the DBus APIs for communicating with the Bluetooth daemon on the different kind of things. And of course, they have the mesh API as well for the DBus. And it's used to send messages between the Bluetooth daemon and the applications that want to talk a Bluetooth mesh on the Linux side. So, but the daemon is different. So if you want to use the mesh on the Linux box, you need to install the different package and basically disable and stop the regular Bluetooth daemon and enable the Bluetooth the specific Bluetooth mesh daemon. There's also a provisioner tool included, which is called the Mesh CFG Client. And it's an interactive tool that allows us to do all the provisioning things. So create new networks, scan for the unprovisioned devices, add those devices to the network and create addresses for their models. One of the downsides of this tool is that it's too interactive, so it's not that easily scriptable, and it's making it hard to create like a reproducible networks and
and environments that you want to do.
And the final state is then how do we create these applications on the Linux side that will do this. And this is even, there's even less examples of that on the network. All that I could find when I started looking into it was some of the Python examples done in the Bluetooth white papers, and basically those are just simple Python applications that use the DBus interface to basically communicate with the mesh daemon over it. So coming to this coming from this kind of state. You could see the end goal that we try to do is to try to see how far we can we go with this tech and try to re-implement most of these things in Rust. And now the question is why Rust, of course? And we found it a very good solution for system programming. So it basically allows us to create it's a statically compiled and strongly typed, which means that it has a strong performance. Safe programs without introducing runtimes and VMs. Again, are very suitable for system programming for this kind of applications. And finally, it's a fairly modern language with a lot of good tooling. So you know, people coming from other areas, for example, I don't consider myself an embedded programmer, but I feel much more comfortable playing with Rust for these use cases than I would be to if I would try to do the same thing in a C. So yeah. So first thing we did is to create a Bitmesh crate, and that's a basic crate that we try to do is to implement all the traits that are needed for implementing the Bluetooth mesh specification. So, it as you remember, all the layers of the Bluetooth mesh, so everything needed for representing the application models or the networking layer traits should be defined in this one crate. And as you will see, we will be able to reuse that in all different layers of the stack. But in order to be able to reuse it in the embedded space, this crate needs to be a no STD, meaning that it shouldn't rely on a standard library. And this is a kind of a go-to example to show how the sensor data representation could look like in defined by the Bitmesh crate. So Rust embedded, I think it's growing. So how many people here are using Rust today for embedded programming? That's cool. So what's the goal here? There's a Rust embedded working group that are dedicated to this task, and its goal is to enable people to run firmwares using Rust. Firmwares targeted to the microcontrollers with a small RAM and ROM capabilities, without operating system and without memory allocator. As I said, we have only 20 minutes and there's a lot of things. So I'm just giving you the pointers. So. There's a lot more to be said about embedded Rust, but we don't have that much time. Next cool thing, as I said, doing embedded with Rust is that it enables you to do quite a modern programming things even for the firmware. So there's a project called Embassy, which allows us to use basically async programming for the firmwares. It provides a scheduler and the hardware abstractions that we can use to build quite capable asynchronous applications in Rust. And it has a hardware support for all the major hardware platforms today. On top of that, the project that we are involved in is building on top of the embassy and trying to add more IoT things on top of the basic embedded development. So communication with the cloud in terms of MQTT or HTTP, trying to support use cases like Bluetooth mesh and try to create a more advanced applications like OTA firmware updates. And you can see here one of the example from the workshop that we did that I'll mention later on is, for example, how we can use the BTmesh crate on the firmware to basically every time we read the sensor data, we can package that sensor data in the proper sensor Bluetooth mesh message and send it over the Bluetooth. Then on the Linux side, there's a project called Bluer, which is part of the BlueZ Linux official group, which tries to implement all the Linux Bluetooth protocol stack in Rust. And at the moment, it provides support for all the major features of the Bluetooth, like GET or Bluetooth Low Energy. So what we try to do here is to provide a support for the Bluetooth mesh in a similar way as the rest of the Bluer works. So again, nice thing about Rust is that you can use a lot of crates and existing technologies that are there for different use cases. So for example, a Bluer uses a Tokyo runtime, frequently use runtime for building all kind of server applications in Rust, and communicates with the mesh daemon over the using the DBus crate. The good thing is, and that was the part of the plan, is to use the BTmesh crate here as well to use for the mesh traits that we would need it. So this is the quick architecture of how things work on the Linux. So I hope you can see it well. So you have a mesh daemon which communicates directly with the devices. It has its own state in the mesh config and the mesh storage volumes, and it communicates with using the system debus to a random applications, being the gateway application or some device simulator on the Linux as well. But the good thing is that you can see here is that, and this is one of the things that I personally like a lot about using Rust for these use cases, is that this code running on Linux looks pretty much similar like the code running on the firmware. So here we are receiving the Bluetooth message, we are parsing it, we are creating a JSON out of it and sending it over the MQTT to the cloud. But it's very easy for a single person to jump back and forth over the different stack layers and using the similar crates and a similar style code than it would be if we go from the writing a C for the firmware and then a Python code for the gateway and then doing something in Java in the cloud, for example. So the mesh support is not officially landed in Bluer, and this is all my fault and due to my laziness and other priorities. But hopefully this PR will be merged in the coming weeks, let's say. Final part of the project that we have been building is to build kind of IoT-friendly cloud platform, again done in Rust. Here we try to provide all the services that your typical IoT application is needing. So being able to do a lot of connectivity, having a capable device registry and being able to integrate further into the cloud applications and using digital twinning and all these kind of things on the other side. But again, I'm coming back to the same thing. So there's a thing called payload converter in the cloud that can actually intercept our messages coming from the gateways. And if you can remember in the previous example, we already parsed the Bluetooth messages and send them as a JSON. But if your gateway is sending just the raw bytes, you can do that thing on the cloud again with the same crates and with a very similar code. So you we will parse the bytes, get the message, do some JSON processing and forward that message deeper into the cloud. So we were playing with this for a while, and then there was a chance to actually try to put this all into the work at the EclipseCon. We had a hackathon and a workshop where we tried to do something to cover the whole area with the Bluetooth mesh network, provide the micro bits for the people to play around with, and provide some basic applications in the cloud that will talk to each other. But the basic big architecture looks like this. So we have a public sandbox for our Draw cloud consisting of Kafka and all this kind of stuff. And we wrote a gateway based on the Bluer. We provided some examples of how to use Microbit with the Rust embedded Draw device and Embassy, and provided a couple of applications that will talk with the cloud using the WebSocket in the background. So just a quick recap how this architecture looks on the firmware. So you have a couple of layers, the Embassy and the Bluetooth radio on the bottom. Then we have a Draw device and the BT mesh support next on, and on top of that we can write our own application that will do things with these messages. On the gateway side, we implemented the gateway using the Bluer, and we also tried to use some of the latest edge technologies to deploy and manage those gateways. So trying to use a Microshift, which is the Red Hat version of the single node Kubernetes cluster, paired with the open cluster management to deploy these gateways to appropriate nodes. And I must say, to my surprise, it all worked pretty well. So we had like a four or five gateways based on the Intel NUX and some Raspberry Pis. Those Raspberry Pis didn't run the Kubernetes. We used the basic Podman and the Docker images to run the gateways. And that provided a very good coverage of a very large space. What we needed to do is to provide a couple of relay nodes, as you can see on this other picture, is to just to basically extend the range over some longer corridors that were there. But everything worked, pretty good from this perspective. So that's all what I have to cover today. So as I said, there's a lot of teasers. We didn't get into anything too much deeply, but these are the communities. So hit us on the Draw IoT Metrics channel. That's where we all hang and are happy to talk about these things. If you're interested in Embassy, I would suggest to take a look at that and the Bluer thing, hopefully with the official BT mesh support very, very soon. Thanks.